As part of the National Fragile X Foundation's new message, Forward, our next two podcasts take a look at a few stories of people moving forward into the next stage of their lives. Each podcast is split into two interviews with different people who have gone forward or are planning their next step forward. This episode features Melissa Street and her son Jesse, who has been through intensive intervention in order to transition to a typical classroom. In the second half, we interview Carolyn Jackson, whose daughters are exploring their post-high school options. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a National Fragile X Foundation podcast on transitions. And we are honored to have with us today Melissa Street from North Carolina, a mother of Jesse, who has Fragile X syndrome. Also, National Fragile X Foundation Support Services Coordinator Jane Dixon Weber is on the phone with us, who is also a parent and of an adult son. And we're going to talk with Melissa about Jesse and how he's doing and the transitions that he's made and the challenges and successes. So, Melissa, welcome.
Thank you.
And why don't you just start by telling us a little bit about Jesse? I have a photo of him here riding in a car, and he's got a giant smile on his face. In fact, even says
Jesse
it's a toothy smile.
Yes. He's a very happy 5-year-old boy.
Tell us about him a little bit, what he likes to do, and those kinds of things. Just give us a kind of paint a picture for us.
Okay. Jesse really likes kindergarten. He loves his friends, and he loves, I actually teach at the school that he goes to, and so he has an amazing memory, and he knows most everybody, so he's very friendly, and everybody at school knows him. He loves horse therapy. He really gets into riding the horse, and he jokes around on the horse, and he loves riding in the truck with his daddy. My husband, Brian, is a lineman for a power company, Rutherford Electric Membership Corporation, and he drives a bucket truck a lot, and Jesse really loves the bucket truck, so he pretends to drive the truck, and he's really into whatever daddy does. He wants to do it too. He actually went hunting for the first time a couple of weeks ago with Brian. I mean, it didn't last but about 45 minutes to an hour, but he just likes to do anything with his daddy.
Of course. Well, as any young boy would like to do. That's great.
Yes.
So, Melissa, we've been talking to other parents of older kids of high school aged and young adult age about the transitions and what worked and what didn't work and the challenges and the successes and so forth. Now, Jesse is in kindergarten, you say, so he's 5 years old?
He's 5 years old, yes.
Okay. So he's gone through different kinds of transitions from preschool programs now into public school program, I assume.
Right. Well, it's all kind of been a blessing for us with Jesse, because when we found out he was almost three, and we were able to get him into the preschool program at the school that I teach at and the school that he attends now. And that was a real blessing, because, you know, once he first started in the preschool, it was bad. I mean, he screamed and cried, and it was a hard transition for him. But we also got him started into, you know, occupational therapy and speech therapy and things like that. And once, you know, he turned three and then he got to start the preschool program, that was like in, I guess, April when he first started. And then when he started back to school in August, we had started, you know, the horse therapy and everything. So he was able to start school again, and he liked it a little bit better, and he did better with it. So, you know, I can just say that being in the preschool program, especially at the school that he attends, has helped him so much, you know, because he already knows the school. He already knows the cafeteria ladies and a lot of the teachers in the school and even kids in the school. So, you know, getting him that early intervention, especially in the school that he attends, I think has just made the biggest difference in the world for him.
Jane, did you have anything that you wanted to zero on in on with Melissa?
So I think, I mean, I can see how being in that preschool program would have made the transition a lot easier. Was there anything that you or the school did when they actually moved him into kindergarten? Did they do anything special for the kids to get him used to the kindergarten?
Well, I will say before we, you know, right after we found out about Jesse, we attended a small Fragile X conference in Asheville, North Carolina. And then the next year we went to the one in Detroit, Michigan, the National Fragile X Conference. And I took all those things that, you know, I had learned that I understood. And my principal actually let me give a seminar on Fragile X Syndrome and Jesse. But it wasn't just, you know, it was just for Jesse, but it was for any kids that, in the schools that, you know, might have sensory issues or autism or any of those types of things. So I was allowed to kind of train the teachers, you know, with how ways they could help Jesse or any kid in their class or, you know, even if they saw him in the hallway and things like that. So I thought that was very helpful, and I was able to make handouts so everybody could have their own. Even with interacting with Jesse in the hallway, like, you know, a lot of times teachers or kids would kind of get up in his face, and that wouldn't go very well. And so I talked about, you know, the sensory issues and things like that. And, you know, I really think that helped a lot with him coming to kindergarten. But he's also overcome a lot of those things, you know, especially like, you know, teachers talking to him and stuff. Like now he'll say, "Hey, how you doing?" And he just keeps walking, but at least he doesn't cry. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes. Oh, that's a great opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
So, Melissa, I'm glad you talked about the part where people were getting in his face, because I was going to ask you, boy, was the whole thing smooth sailing or were there some rough patches? So apparently there were.
Well, you know, there were rough patches because, like I said, people didn't know, you know, interact with Jesse. Mm-hmm. And they would, you know, "Hey, Jesse, how you doing?" You know, in his face. And, I mean, he would run the opposite direction and scream and mm-hmm. start crying. And, you know, I'd have to say, he doesn't really like for you to get in his face. And mm-hmm. I think that hurt those people's feelings at first. But then, you know, when I was able to give them the information that I had learned, and, you know, share videos and things that, you know, I found, it helped people be able to interact with him. And I just can't say enough about the preschool program, because as friendly, you know, I'm sure you know that their memories are amazing. And he knows all the kids in his class, especially the ones that he was in preschool with. And so, you know, he's kind of made friends with those kids, especially because he already knew them. I mean, he really doesn't have any more issues, really, except, like, away from school and you know, coming home at night and being tired.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we have tantrums there, you know, but we quick try to do bath and do the routine, you know, to help him calm down and get in the bed.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't really have any major issues at school yet. And you know what I mean? Like that, mm-hmm. That was bad like that. So
were there any people, be they teachers or other parents, where you actually had to give them materials or sit them down and educate them about what Fragile X syndrome is?
Yes, I will say this too. After I spoke at a teacher training, I was actually allowed to speak at my church. And that was a big turnout, and there were a lot of parents in the community that came.
Mm-hmm.
And I did do the same presentation, but I did it more for, you know, what is Fragile X and what's it all about, instead of like how to help kids in school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it
mm-hmm.
was more of a learning process. And we had like a fundraiser meal after that, and
mm-hmm.
I got to meet a lot of parents in the community that had heard that I was speaking about it, and they came. And actually, one of those parents, their child is in the preschool program now at school,
mm-hmm.
and I talked to her a lot and, you know, try to help her with things. But so I have had that kind of opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's another good one.
What do you think the next big challenge for Jesse will be?
Wow.
Or maybe, let me phrase it a different way. Are you worried about any next challenges for him? Or are you thinking about or preparing for?
Well, I tell you, honestly, right now we're actually in, my husband and I are driving to Columbia, South Carolina, to the Handwriting Without Tears conference.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Because that's a big struggle for Jesse, of course, is fine motor and actual writing. And actually his kindergarten teacher is coming here too, so I'm real excited about that. But I think trying to get him, you know, in kindergarten to be able to write the things that he needs to be able to write, and I don't know, you know, if he'll be able to do it like everybody else. I'm sure that he won't, but he's actually starting to make his name and, you know,
mm-hmm.
actually spell J-E-S-S-E.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes a lot of effort and a lot of work because he wants to look around while he's trying to write. You know, that's the next biggest thing. And I can, you know, Brian and I talk a lot, especially about the future for him. And on his IEP meeting goals, we, you know, they always ask the parents, well, what are your goals or what do you want to see? And I really didn't know what to say at the time. I would just say I'd like for him to be on grade level, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. And now that, you know, we see how he is and we see how well he can adjust, he has a good recovery rate. If he does lose it somewhere, you know, Brian and I figured out what we can do to help him recover
mm-hmm.
quickly and get back into whatever's happening or whatever we're doing. But, you know, our main goal for him is to be able to live on his own, and that might be in our backyard, you know, in a little trailer or something, or it might be a group home,
mm-hmm.
and to actually have a job. And I don't know what that might be. It might be greeting at Walmart or, you mm-hmm. know, but I can tell Jesse, and I think it's that imitating that they're so good at. He wants to do things on his own. Like, he tries really hard to button his pants because he knows that I button my pants and Brian buttons his pants. He knows that, you know, he's supposed to do that himself. And I think with that kind of personality that he has, you know, he's gonna do great things. And it might not be, you know, great things to what other people think, but it's going to be great things to us.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wants to do, he strives to do good things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He strives to do things that he knows he should do by himself. And I think that is such a blessing.
Jane, your son is 22, right?
Yes, 23. 20, yes.
23 now. And he has a job, and he handles, I know, grocery carts for a major supermarket, right?
He does. He does.
That's awesome.
So and
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, when he was 5, you know, were you thinking about these same things and trying to figure out what the future looked like and helping him prepare him? I know you wrote a book at that time about transitions.
I did. You know, it was, you know, I'm not sure how much, you know, I thought about it when he was 5, because it seemed like there was so much going on, like right now in the here and moment, that he needed help with and other people needed help with. And so, but the future is always in the back of your mind. And I think that, I think you're right on, Melissa, that, you know, you strive to see what Jesse can do. I mean, if he's already trying to imitate everything you do, then you follow his, you know, he's gonna imitate he's going to imitate you and other people, and following his lead, you know, you never know where that's going to take you.
I know, and he's just such a blessing.
Melissa, a few minutes ago, you talked about that you and your husband, Brian, right?
Yes, Brian.
You now have a good handle on what to do if he seems to get overwhelmed or begins to act out. Or can you just describe that, how the two of you have gotten to that place where you can work together as a team?
Well, you know, we just, you know, at first, before we found out that Jesse had Fragile X, and he was, you know, in the two stage, and we thought it was terrible twos. But, you know, we would come in, coming through the threshold of our door at our house was a big, I don't know what it is, I still don't know, but sometimes still he even does it. Walking in the threshold of the door, he has a major meltdown.
By the way, that's not uncommon, by the way. We know lots of kids who struggle with that.
But, you know, I don't know if it's the concept of this is the end and now we're at home or what, but, you know, we used to, you know, just kind of, it took us a long time to figure it out, but as soon as we would, like, go to the next step, like get him in the bathtub, you know, if he was still screaming in the bathtub, just dry him off and dry his hair and get him into bed and read a book. And it's really funny about Jesse, but just as soon as he gets back in his bedroom, he is happy as a lark. It's kind of like, this is what I wanted the whole time, you know, was to get to my room and to my place. But, like, if we're out, like this summer, we took Jesse to the Duke Fragile X Clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was a long process there.
mm-hmm.
I would say for the first 2 hours, you know, Jesse really did okay. I mean, he hung in there with Gail and did the test, and Dr. Ave came back in, and, you know, by this time he's kind of being a little oppositional defiant. Like, you know, she would ask him, what is this a picture of? And he'd say, no, or he would say a sunshine, and it was a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew it was a tree, but mm-hmm. he was just kind of getting done with her.
mm-hmm.
And, you know, finally when that was all said and done, and they wanted to talk to us, I mean, Jesse was about to have a mega meltdown. And so, you know, Brian and I had already figured out when we took Jesse to the truck, like I said, he really likes Brian's truck, and turned the radio on, he was happy as a lark. So we've learned, you know, taking him to the truck or even just kind of maybe removing him from a situation or giving him a quiet place of his own with the beanbag chair or something, you know, and turning on his favorite TV show, which is like iCarly. It's really mm-hmm. funny. But just what, you know, we just worked together and figured it out, you know, and mm-hmm. and like the other night, like I said a couple of weeks ago, when Brian was going hunting and Jesse said, I want to go. And I just, you know, we just kind of looked at each other like, well, what are we going to say? What are we going to
mm-hmm.
do? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And Brian said, well, come on, buddy, let's go. And, you know, he went with Brian for like that hour,
mm-hmm.
came home, and he kind of had a little meltdown. But again, we just went into routine mode of
mm-hmm.
bath, brush your teeth, dry your
mm-hmm.
hair. And once
mm-hmm.
we got in his bedroom, you know, he calms down, but I guess that's
mm-hmm.
a place of comfort for him, and
sure.
he knows that's his space. Another thing we've learned, iPhones are marvelous pieces of technology,
mm-hmm.
and he knows how to work it. And so if we're somewhere like in Walmart or shopping somewhere, and he starts to kind of get a little teary-eyed, you know, he might even ask for it. He'll say, where's your iPhone? I need your iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually give him the iPhone, and he'll turn it on Netflix, and
mm-hmm.
he knows how to find Blue's Clues or
mm-hmm.
Diego or any show on Netflix that he wants to watch, or he even knows his favorite songs on the iPhone, and he knows how to go to music and find Big Green Tractor, or
mm-hmm.
it's amazing how, I mean, smart
yeah.
he is, but
yeah.
The iPhone has really helped, like, when we're out in public with situations.
Right. Well, that's fascinating. We're going to be talking a lot about that at the next international conference, too. There'll be a lot of things about technology. Very good. Well, I'm looking forward to having you there, and I want to thank you for everything you've shared with us today. This has been very helpful, and I think just your sharing it will benefit a lot of parents. So thank you so much, Melissa.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. I really appreciate it.
And thank you, Jane, for being on the call.
You're very welcome. And Melissa, that was a wonderful, wonderful story. So thank you for sharing.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Jane.
All right. I am honored today to have two guests on the show with me here. The first is National Fragile X Foundation Support Services Coordinator Jane Dixon Weber. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning.
And we also have Carolyn Jackson, mother of two wonderful daughters with Fragile X syndrome. Good morning, Carolyn.
Good morning.
So we want to talk about your daughters. I have photos of them here in their cheerleading outfits and with two big smiles on their faces, and they look like very happy young women, Lizzie and Abby. And tell us a little bit about them.
Sure. Actually, just to correct a little bit, that actually a competition dance outfit.
Okay, thank you.
And they, well, currently they are 17. They're actually going to be turning 18 in just a few days. So we're very excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
They go to high school. They go to regular high school and regular high school classes every day. In fact, Lizzie is in an honors English class. We're set to graduate on time with a regular graduation diploma. Let's see. If you could give me a few more detailed questions.
Sure. Sure. Well, I mean, I think one of the purposes of our call today is to hear from parents like you, how you have prepared your daughters for transitions out of public school, which they've been in almost all of their lives, and prepared them for the adult world. And Jane, I know that as a mother of a young adult son with Fragile X syndrome, you've been through this too. So you guys have that in common. So I think that's what we're particularly interested in. What have been some of the challenges? What have been some of the successes? What are you most proud of? What are you most nervous about? And what are some of the particulars and specifics of that you think that our listeners could benefit from who want to learn how to help prepare their kids also for the adult world?
Sure. Well, we were in a school from about fifth grade to eighth grade that catered just to children with learning disabilities. So we were coddled, if you will, there for several years, and it was a very nice world to be in. When we started embarking on the high school process and the financial situation that we were in, we knew that private school would no longer be an option for us, so we had to make the transition into public school. So we did that, and my first thought, as my family kept thinking, you know, long term, well, what do you think they want to do, you know, after high school, and what do they like, and all these future questions, all I could think about and the twins were, can we just get through our first year of public high school?
Mm-hmm.
So that was our first, you know, our first year, and it was nerve-wracking. I was the mom that was in the high school constantly, that you never, ever see any parents in public high schools very much volunteering. It's just not one of those things that happen anymore very much in today's times. And So after we did get through our first year, the second year and the third year, we became more comfortable with how the system works, and I became comfortable with how to work the system. The teachers knew, administration knew, if they saw me on campus, they better stand up straight and straighten their ties, because I was coming in to make sure that my children's IEP was being met and followed through, and that they were going to get the support that they needed. So we did that. With aspect of friends, we've had our ups and downs. It's been a little socially awkward. The girls will tell you that they haven't always been comfortable trying to make friends. Their first year was just really, really difficult. And then as they became more familiar with throughout the years, they did become a little bit more comfortable. But they still are very quiet. They have an area for lunch. They don't even go down into the main area for lunch. They have a locker room, if you will, so that they can, with a few other kids. And so, because it's just quieter, it's nicer, and it's secure and safe for them. So the lunchroom environment that can be loud can get overstimulating for them. So we've learned to make accommodations on our own, and gotten special permission from administration through the years to be able to have certain privileges that may not have been offered to us, just because we had to get creative and really think about what was going to be best for them. Started ending our junior year, and started, looking at our IEPs, we looked at it was going to be time to decide how we were going to finish out our school year, if vocational rehabilitation was something that we wanted to look at. And I knew it definitely would be for the eldest of the twins, for Abby. Still not sure about Elizabeth. We had her on a college track, but just still trying to sit back and wait to let them kind of help me, help guide my husband and I as far as how they want to pursue their future after high school. Also trying to take some notes that I had learned in Detroit as to not fill out the college applications for them or direct them in a way to go that may not be ideal for them. So it has not been easy at all to sit back and just wait while I know all their classmates are filling out college applications and taking, all the SATs and ACTs and those types of tests. So that had started, like I said, in the last part of their junior year, a little bit throughout the summer. And now that we're in the fall of their senior year, the girls are kind of got their ears a little more open and are more accepting or willing to hear that, maybe we should be talking to colleges or going to visit some places, filling out an application, or at least talking to a parent, talking to us about what they want to do after school. At this point, we do have vocational rehabilitation. We're starting to get it set up for Abby. We're trying to weigh our options and decide whether or not we want to do the same for Lizzie. Just not sure yet. Not sure where we want to go. We're still kind of waiting to see how she does this semester and really where she wants to go. Again, just kind of sitting back, knowing that we've got some time. So, right now our biggest challenge this fall, this semester, for their senior year has been the fact that they because they're involved in dance and have been for over 10 years, they have lots of after-school practices. Well, my husband and I had to go back to work full-time because of the economy, and the after-school practices means that somebody has to go and pick them up sometime after the school bus has already left. So since they can't ride the school bus, it's been very difficult while all of their friends have cars, you know, or are more social to each other as far as catching a ride home with this friend or that friend. My children don't really do that. So we were seriously thinking at looking how to ride the city bus to where we needed to be in the afternoon so that they could get from their high school practices to the dance studio. But finally, I think they kind of figured out all the stress and the worry that I was under, and they finally started talking to some of their friends. You know, I'm so proud of them because they finally, you know, reached out. They went past their comfort zone and started asking some friends if by chance they could get a ride home. You know, if my mom will pay you X amount of dollars, can you get us to our to the house or to the dance studio? So that was a really big step for them.
Mm-hmm.
So driving right now, transportation is our biggest challenge currently. It's just getting from point A to point B and sometimes point C after the school day has ended. So that's kind of where we are now, where the girls are talking about some trade schools or tech schools. We're looking at them. We're trying to decide what the best way is to approach that situation, and also, of course, waiting on vocational rehab to kind of step in too, so that we don't, you know, step out of place on our end.
Okay. Well, that is a lot of very, very helpful information. Jane, did you have any questions for Carolyn?
I do, Carolyn. So the girls that have IEPs right now, so now can they, if they, can they stay with the school, into the school system until they're 21?
It is my impression that they can stay if they choose. There is one program out there that is a more or less a charter school. It's kind of a bridge. I haven't really looked at it too much. I've heard about it. It's a bridge between the high school and the trade school or college. But again, if we were not on a regular diploma program, they could stay until they were 21. They could stay on the campus that they're on until they were 21 if they needed to. But fortunately, we do not need that.
Carolyn, just for our listeners' benefit, you're in Florida, correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right.
So it looks like you have a lot of options. The girls have a lot of options that that they need to consider over the next few months, really.
Well, they do, and we're kind of in that gray area, because for the average friend or person, stranger, to look and watch the girls, they look just like any other student out there. And it's not really till you start working with them for several days that you realize something's, you know, just a little unique. And so, you know, those are the kinds of things that I really have to push through, because even the school system doesn't really see it. The people who write their IEPs, you know, they really don't see what I try to tell them, you know, until they start working with them. Like, and it has to be on day 3, I was told. Oh, well, I finally started seeing what you've been telling us all along, you know. So, and as most Fragile X parents know, or those that are aware of Fragile X, you know, this syndrome, it waxes and wanes. So I could tell the individuals, the instructors at school, okay, this is what we need to look at, you know, point A, B, and C, and they could look at it and say, we don't see it, you know. But then, and they may not see it that day, but then the following week, you know, it may pop up. And so we're kind of in a in a, I call it a, an in, interesting area, because we're not quite disabled enough to where we need, you know, really big services, but we're not independent enough to go fill out a college application and hop on campus next fall either. So,
right. So as you lay out your options, so the girls could go, so they're looking at a possibly trade or tech school, and is that like a in a separate building? Is that like a community college type of thing?
Yes. One is looking at a community college right now. Probably just so that she can get like her basic classes underneath her belt. She does, Abby is looking at possibly going into some type of child care, because she volunteered this summer for a local church and, you know, loved, really enjoyed volunteering with children. So that's something that it, you know, might come of all of that. I have no idea. I know that whatever she chooses, it, you know, I know that knowing Abby, it will have to be something that is the same and repetitive every day situation. And then Elizabeth is like, she has a long-term goal of, yes, one day that she wants to be independent enough to live on a college campus. But how she gets from right now to that point, she's unclear. And we're just kind of, like I said, sitting back and waiting to try to see what happens, see how bad that she really wants this.
Hey, Carolyn, as you've been talking, I've been struck by the fact that you seem to really follow their lead. That in a couple of different ways, you've been real clear about that you're not kind of forcing them into a vision that you might have, but trying to really see what it is they want to do. Is that a fair statement?
It is a fair statement. When I went to the conference in Detroit and went to particularly one class, and I do not remember which seminar it was, but one of the professionals instructed us and said, you know, please don't go overboard and force your children into a situation that is going to overwhelm them. Children that do not have Fragile X are forced every day into, you know, higher education situations that they're not ready for. And so you have to really look out for this. And even though we all want the best for our children, they said, please do yourself and your child a favor. And if that means waiting a year or two, then it will be well worth it. Mm-hmm. So as hard as that advice has been to actually play out, we are doing it, but I have had to bite my lip almost every day because I have definitely, I mean, the college applications, the college letters, they come in daily now, and we even have a college here in Florida that accommodates two students with learning disabilities, and, you know, so we're even hearing from them. You know, come look at our campus. Come see what we can help you with.
Mm-hmm.
But then they don't have a major that I'm not sure that my children would even be interested in. So, you know, I'm just sitting down and waiting.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I am trying to take their lead because I just don't, you know, I just don't want to waste time or money or, you know, put any of us in a situation that's just going to be too difficult.
Well, Carolyn, it really sounds like Elizabeth and Abby are lucky to have you as their mother, and you obviously should be very proud of them.
Well,
and
thank you.
We'd like to hear from you again how they do with this transition to college. It'd be very, very beneficial and interesting to know about that. So I hope you'll stay in touch with us.
Sure.
And perhaps can come to the next international conference in Miami.
I plan on it.
July of 2012.
Yeah.
Good,
yeah.
Good.
It's
and
only 4 hours away from me.
Good, that's right. Yeah. Of course, that's right. And I can't thank you enough for taking some time today to talk with us. So thank you, and give our best to Lizzie and Abby.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, you take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Please help the NFXF continue to move forward with our support, education, research, and advocacy efforts for the Fragile X community. To donate to the 2011 Annual Fund or to learn more about the campaign, visit annual-fund.fragilex.org.